Welcome to the Sparks by Ignium podcast, a series of intimate conversations shared to give people the help and the hope they need to take the next steps in scaling up their business.
Welcome back to the Sparks by Ignium podcast. I am Phil Rose, your host, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Jeff Barch. Jeff is the founder of Story Greenlight. Story Greenlight is a coaching company that helps accounting executives and other advisors to set themselves apart in their industry. It's all about a journey of communication and thought leadership. And as you know, on this podcast, we're really keen to hear about people's journey, what got them where they are today, but also learning from Jeff as we go. Jeff's built an amazing reputation as a talented storyteller and a communicator through successful careers in television, as an editor in Hollywood. And he's worked with many of the major media outlets, including NBC, ABC, Disney, Amazon, Apple, and Netflix, and various others. So I'm looking forward to this conversation with Jeff to learn a bit more about what it takes to become a storyteller in Hollywood. So Jeff, welcome to the Sparks by Ignium podcast.
Thank you, Phil. Really looking forward to this, man.
Yeah, thank you. So look, you've been around the block in terms of that Hollywood thing. And as I was reading that just then, think about, you know, those businesses you've worked for. Storytelling, how did you get into that as a starter? Because I want to really start at the beginning, as every good book does. Tell me from the beginning, what got you into storytelling?
Well, the interesting thing is, when people look me up online, they usually come across the whole idea of, oh, well, Jeff, you spent 20 years in Hollywood. And so that's where you learned about storytelling. And that is true. What I've come to realize, though, is that the whole idea of storytelling is something that a lot of us think we understand it, but there are a lot of deeper levels to it that we may not have been actually thought about a lot. And I'm looking forward to digging into some of those ideas here. And I really started learning those foundational ideas when I was a kid and I started learning how to play the piano. I started playing by ear and also classically when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where it just really connected with my own personal talents, my own leanings, and my environment. Grew up in a very musical family. Mm. And for the next 20 years of my life, I was known as Jeff the Piano Guy.
Wow.
And everyone said, oh, Jeff, you're such a great piano player. Good job. And, you know, and my little head just blew up. I thought I was the biggest thing. I was the best thing ever because I could take things like Bach and Mozart. I could just play the notes on the page. And everyone instantly told me I was amazing. So it's one of those things where it was an unintentional ego boost to me as a little kid, until there was one day, actually, a lot of my reps that I put in were on Sunday mornings, because my dad has been a pastor most of my life. And I spent many, many, many Sunday mornings playing piano in church. And there was one day when one of the older musicians kind of took me aside and she said, Jeff, it's all well and good to play the notes on the page.
Yeah.
But when you get older, you need to learn to play from your soul. Wow. And I was maybe 10 or 11 years old. Everyone was already telling me that I was amazing and I was doing a great job. And so when this lady tells me that I need to learn to play from my soul, I thought that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And so I very politely ignored her for the next years until people started changing the way that they responded to what I was doing.
Interesting.
And instead of saying, Jeff, you're such an amazing piano player, people would say, Jeff, that song that you played this morning was exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you for playing that song.
Wow.
And every once in a while, someone would say, Jeff, the way you played today actually brought me into an encounter with God. I feel closer with God because of your gifts and what you offered to the world today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. And it was one of those things where I realized, okay, clearly this is much bigger than me.
Yeah.
And there's something super powerful going on here.
That's
and right. That's been the journey that I've been on ever since, to find out what are the powers that take an ordinary message and elevate it to the extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I've been doing ever since.
I love that. Elevating an ordinary message and elevate it to the extraordinary. So there's something in that, that thing. So I want to just, before we get back into that, I want to talk about this about playing from the soul, because I think there's a big thing there about that storytelling. To bring it alive, it's got to be who you are, because anybody can read a script. Two people could pick up a Shakespeare script. One could read it and one could bring the audience alive. So what is it about that bringing it from the soul, do you think? When that lady with the good intentions told you that when you were a young child, and you ignored it because, you know, we're young children, we don't hear the real message. So at some stage in your journey, that lit you up and you said, hey, look, I get it. That makes a difference. And that thing you said there, you know, that song is just what I needed to hear today. What was it that shifted for you in that musical sense from playing the notes to playing from the soul? Do you think there was one thing or many things?
Well, I think it's definitely more than one thing, but I think just to make this applicable to our broader conversation, I think the biggest thing is in anything that we pursue, there will always be the fundamentals. There will always be the skills that make up, the table stakes for whatever purpose, whatever task we take on. It's when we can actually go beyond the basic skills and really focus on what is truly taking place in terms of communication. And that's been the area where I've really been focusing a lot of my practicing, my coaching, my client work, and my own thinking. It's really around that idea of communication and human connection. And so it's, so it applying this specifically to piano playing, what was I learning to do as a kid that I didn't know before when I was just playing the notes on the page? Well, it's things like a lot of the times on Sunday mornings, we would play hymns with these, which were designed to be, these hymns were designed to be accessible for as many people as possible.
Okay.
And with that, you have a fairly low level of musical technicality that's required in order to be able to play these songs with the four-part harmony as they were written originally. And so many people do that. So many people continue to do that, and they just play the notes. But when you think about what are the words saying that are connected to all these notes, and why is it that we play these verses the exact same way every single time? Even if a hymn has five verses, a song has five verses, and you play every verse the exact same way every time, even though the messages are changing, we're doing a disservice to the communication, because we're not really playing in light of what the words are actually saying. So that's, that's just the beginning of what I was learning to do, was play the music to support the meaning of what the words were saying.
And it's interesting, play the music to support the meaning of what the words were saying, because I think that has a big relevance when you're talking there about, the communication and human connection. Because to connect fully to the human, you've got to get that emotion into that message. So thinking, fast forwarding some years, you've become an accomplished player rather than just playing what's on the page. You're able to play it with soul. And now transferring that into to your work life in terms of the communication aspects of that. Because I think that's one of the key things here about what was it for you that helped you step out of the just seeing the notes on the page and realizing you could bring this into a career in terms of helping people communicate and communicate well with the real message behind the words? Because I think that's the bit I'd love to talk about.
For the longest time, I thought all the things that I thought I was involved with all these different activities throughout my life that were completely separate. And I thought, well, as a kid, I was Jeff the piano guy, into my 20s. In junior high, I started getting into music recording and arranging. And in high school, I got into video production, tiny little high school, 200 people. I was the one person in a high school of 200 people who cared about this at all. So I was a one-man band. Showed these videos that I did of people in my high school, and they showed them on these big screens in front of the whole town. The whole town had 1,000 people, and everyone showed up to graduation day, and everyone said, these things are amazing.
Wow.
And I didn't quite know why. And somehow I still had the good sense to say, okay, well, I like this media stuff. I ended up going into radio in college, and I ended up in I ended up in Los Angeles because I wanted to get back into TV. Okay. And the college that I was going didn't really have any of that. But then there was a whole nother, for the next 20 years, I was still learning this new set of fundamental skills in terms of shaping television. It's almost like I was back to square one and realizing, okay, you know, the visual shot selection, putting the music together and all this stuff and making it work as a cohesive whole. But then I got to the same place, and it took me a long time sitting in dark rooms by myself making TV in Hollywood to say, this is all the same thing.
This is actually
all the same thing. This is all about what is the message? Who is this message going out to? What do they want? What do they truly care about? And how can we craft a message that most effectively communicates to what the audience actually wants?
That's the powerful piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you talk about, you know, what do they want? What do they care about? And actually connecting the message back to them. Because I think there's a real powerful piece there, isn't it? Because actually, you know, we can all, you know, relate to documentaries we've seen or fiction we've seen on Netflix or on Disney. We can relate to those things. And you know, it's the emotion in there that brings it alive. Because I think when you start to hear the music, the score behind it, you start to see the visual. But there's something that brings it alive there. And again, it's the same thing we talked about before. You know, anybody can read a Shakespeare script. But actually to read it and bring the emotion alive and bring the audience into it, I think it adds the extra dimension to it. So something you were doing there, you were saying, actually, it made it all the same. So there's something about that shifted for you. So let's talk a bit further. Okay, so you spent time in Hollywood. You spent this time, 20 plus years, learning, as you say, and you realize it's all the same. Where's the next piece of the journey take you? Because obviously, you know, COVID came in the way at some stage. The journey in terms of the film career took you in a different direction. So tell me about where you got to, or how you got to where you are now, and where you are now is the key point to this, I think.
The beginning of it was about 5 years into my television career. I could see that I was quickly approaching an income ceiling.
Okay.
Doing what I was doing, even though what I was doing for many people literally is living the dream, you know, crafting story in the storytelling capital of the world, you know. And at the same time, I didn't want to be boxed in by financial constraints. So I started learning about, okay, how can I start creating new streams of income? And what I started out doing was based around the things that I'd been learning as a communicator. And at first, it was all about what I was doing in Hollywood, and had some false starts, as we all do entrepreneurially, some things that did not work. The earliest stuff that did work was me coaching young television editors and saying, hey, here's how to bring this television stuff alive.
So
they can actually have the creative chops to do what I was doing every day. And that went well until I realized, well, I like a bigger audience. And that put me down this path of a business desert where I spent many years offering solutions that people to people who didn't have a problem, didn't have the money to pay to have it solved. And that was very frustrating. Until I finally kept iterating. And my coaching work, it returned back to coaching. There was an accounting firm that, you know, as I was doing a generalized kind of coaching, an accounting firm reached out to me and said, hey, we love this conversation that you had with our CEO and leadership within our company on this podcast. Would you work with our internal thought leaders to help our internal experts to help them become public-facing thought leaders?
Wow. Okay.
And so that's where that journey started, where they reached out to me and said, hey, can you help us bring our message to life?
Yeah.
And that's that's what I ended up focusing and really enjoyed working with these guys and these ladies to the point where the CEO said, you should, I love working with you guys. I've decided to focus my coaching exclusively on thought leader and communication development. And he said, well, you should, not only should you do that, you should focus specifically to the accounting world. And I'll just stop right there. So, and that's really how I came to the point where I'm focusing on coaching work with people in the accounting and the financial world.
Yeah. And I love that, the fact that you're putting yourself out there into that niche, because in the day, you know, the key to making a business work is actually having that focus. So for you, you went into that accountancy, but the key bit there is helping to become thought leaders. It's that piece around taking their message and converting a relatively dry subject, which we often talk about accounting, into something that connects with people. And I think there's something there, isn't it, about helping people build their story up so that it's got real meaning and it's impactful.
Hi there. If you're enjoying this episode of Sparks, please take a moment to hit subscribe wherever you're listening. It really helps us out. Thanks.
So what was that transition like? Because obviously, you know, working in Hollywood's one thing, working with film editors is one thing, and then suddenly realize you've got a creative sense of how to build the stories up for accountancy professionals. What was that shift? Because that's to me sounds like a big shift from one end film editors to accountants.
When you put that together, when you juxtapose them together, it seems like completely different worlds.
Yeah.
But when you take it over a span of time and you say, and you look at, okay, what's the value that's being communicated into the world? The question is, you know, it really wasn't all that long. It was just, it was since COVID, within the COVID context, that it was the pressure cooker that really forced a lot of clarity for a lot of people. And I realized that the things that I'd been doing all along, it was the exact same thing. It was the exact same thing that that lady was telling me that I needed to do when I was in elementary school. And it was all about elevating the ordinary to the extraordinary, elevating communication in a way that it's received powerfully by its audience. And I realized that's what I had been doing all along. Plus, I had been helping others to do it. So then when you look at that progression and you say, okay, well, what is the market who has the most powerful need for this? And I'm not going to sit here and say that accountants are the single, you know, and CFOs and client advisors are the single most needy market for communication. But I will say there is a tendency within the financial world to say, you have the numbers, that's all you need. Well, the question is, why do the numbers matter? And how can we communicate in the way that it is received in a powerful way?
And interestingly, because that's the story behind it, isn't it? Is actually getting that message across there. So thinking about some of the accountants I know, and you know, we talk on this podcast about having purpose, and I think there are many accountants I know who have got purposeful lives of what purpose means to them. But I think we need to look at, you know, how do we bring purpose into this at some stage? But from a point of view of, you know, that journey for you, you mentioned about the transition there, and this elevating the ordinary to the extraordinary. I think there's something in that, isn't there? Because effectively you're helping accountants take what they've seen as generally ordinary, and you're helping them become thought leaders. So there's a big thing in that. So what does thought leadership mean to you? What does it mean to you at a base level?
Sure. You know, thought leadership is something that can feel very intimidating and very scary to a lot of people.
Okay.
And it can trigger a lot of feelings of inferiority and, who am I to be a capital T thought leader kind of a thing? I could never write a book. I could never be on the TED Talk stage. I could never have a platform of millions. The truth of the matter is, we are all thought leaders in one form or another. Anytime that we engage with another human being for the purpose of moving a project forward, moving an idea forward, moving a cause forward. We're saying, here's what I think. Here's, and whenever we're in a position where we have influence over the thinking of someone else, that is a form of thought leadership and it's very basic identity.
That's really interesting. I love that fact that we are all thought leaders at different levels. And I think there's something there, isn't it? Because there's something that holds people back because people think, hey, I can't get on the stage to talk about this. I'm not a TED talker. But actually what you're saying there is we've all got potential for that, but you've got to find something different. So there's a there's a linkage forming in my mind here about that that piece of advice you were given when you were in elementary school, where someone said about playing from soul, playing from from soul, from heart. It says you get the message out there, and I think those thought leaders are not the ones who stand up and just recount what's on the page. They're the ones who bring it to life. So I wonder, from your perspective,
agreed,
what are those messages that you think people need to be bringing out to help them elevate themselves to become a thought leader? What's the story they should be telling themselves at heart?
The story that they need to be telling themselves is the story of the people to whom they speak.
Okay.
Because you can have the most incredible story in the world, but if you tell it to the wrong person in the wrong way at the wrong time, the power goes poof. It vanishes.
How do you create the power? Because that's the key to it, isn't it? It's creating that power in that story.
The power comes from the knowledge of the audience. Who they are, what they want, what's getting in their way, and what is the change that they want to see. If you want to go slightly film school geekish for a second, I promise I won't go here long. and actually, the fact of the matter is, this isn't film school. This is business. This is if a lot of people are familiar with Donald Miller and his idea and his business that he's built around building a story brand. In one of Miller's earlier books called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, the characters have this exchange where they talk about what is a story. And so I've taken some of those ideas and expanded on them myself to where I say that a story, by definition, is where a character wants something, overcomes obstacles to get it, and experiences transformation as a result. So when you think about that idea of a story being a character who wants something, overcomes obstacles to get it, and experiences transformation as a result, you have in that, in those phrases, you have the framework to inform any communication that takes place between any human being for any reason ever, for any purpose.
I love that.
And for any person who says, Jeff, that sounds like you're exaggerating. And I promise you, I'm not. It really is that wide ranging. It can actually start messing with your head if you let it. And so back to your question of where does the power come from? The power comes always from the audience. Because if the audience doesn't respond, in a way where the story is connecting with them, the story does not have the power. No story inherently is powerful. Any story is only powerful because of the people who receive it and how those people attach meaning to it. And that comes from the storyline that not only we are all living our own storyline, but it's the storyline of the audience. Who is the audience? What do they want? What's keeping them from getting it? And what change do they want to see? So if you are telling a story, you know, the story of King Arthur, fill in the blank, who goes out and slays the dragon, or, you know, just any kind of story, if you tell that to an audience who dreams of slaying their own dragons, there is a very strong possibility that that story of Arthur slaying the dragon will resonate in a powerful way with that person in the audience. If the audience has no desire to do anything like that, if the audience member has, if the audience's desire is to, I want to preserve what I have, I want to I want to maintain a place of stasis in my life. I want to be calm. I want to be secure when everything around me feels uncomfortable. the idea of going on Slaying a Dragon does not resonate with that kind of a person.
So interesting, isn't it? So there's some real techniques you bring in there to help people build that story up. And that first one is, you know, the knowledge of the audience is key, because you can then target your message to them. And if you know what they want, and I think, as you say there, you know, it's really trying to understand what they want and what do they care about. Those are the key things, because then it resonates for them. Because if they're not interested or caring about slaying a dragon, that's not a story for them. But there's an emotional side you're bringing out there. So from your perspective in that case, you know, building that again. So I'm hearing the same thing come out again and again here in this conversation, in the sense that, you know, as a young kid, you're able to play the notes. You then brought the ability to play it and bring it alive. So that story speaks to somebody in the same way that your music. So there's something there as you've grown through your career, 20 plus years in Hollywood, you've seen this storytelling come alive. What are the key aspects? So once we understand our audience, once we understand what they care about, how do I get the message across in a way that connects with people, builds that emotion? Because there's a message in every story that has to really connect, and it's that response you get. Mm-hmm. So how do I do that? How do I build my story so it connects with you rather than the story that someone else is telling, to differentiate what I'm doing?
Sure. Well, that is where the paths begin to diverge, based on who are you talking to? What is the medium that you're using to talk to them?
Yeah. Okay.
Because the instant that you change media, you know, any one medium has its own layer of foundational techniques, you know, to compare it with piano, you have to know what those blobs of black ink on the page mean.
Yeah.
Then you have to know what the keys on the piano are. You have to know what the sounds are that are connected to those keys. You have to make the mental connection of, okay, that blob on the paper means I need to play this key at this time in this way with this combination. And you have to do that thousands and thousands of times in order to play a song at all, in order to just play the notes on the page. But then once you get those fundamental skills wrapped up, then you can more fully concentrate on how do we bring this message to life. So to your question, how do we bring that message to life in any given communication? It begins with the medium, because the tools that someone will use walking on a stage in front of cameras will be different than the tools that someone uses typing a marketing headline.
Okay, and that's really different, isn't it? So it's about that medium in the first place, understanding where that is. And you could then help bring that story alive, because the story starts to unfold for the individual. But when you bring the individual in it, there's obviously something there, I think, as well. As you know, in Hollywood, many people flock to LA or Hollywood to build a story and build a career in the movies, to get into film. Not everyone makes it. Not everyone has that ability to get to where they want to be going. And in terms of you're telling this story and creating that, how easy is it for you to help anybody tell a story that connects with people? Or is there a special innate thing that we all need to have? Or can that be learned?
The good news is it is all fundamentally based on skills.
Yeah, okay.
Communication at its core is based on skills. Skills can be learned. That's the headline right there.
Okay.
Now, the asterisk to that, of course, is it's really tempting to look at things that we feel that we understand and we don't know what's really driving them, or we haven't really put in, you know, we haven't put in the thought to what are the driving forces behind these things. Never mind how to put them to use. And there, I will say, there are a lot of people who engage in communication and they do it in a way that they have so mastered the fundamentals, then they have so honed in on how to bring the message to life in their own way, in their own medium, that it feels like magic.
Okay.
And we mere mortals look at that and say, oh man, I could never do that. But when it comes to the idea of communication, one of the things that I always say about storytelling, it's easy to sleep on the idea of story because everyone thinks, oh, well, yeah, I know what that is because I tell stories all the time. And, you know, and that's true. We, you know, most of us know how to tell a story about, hey, that we had this great thing that happened over the weekend, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're hanging out over the water cooler, be it physical or virtual at the, you know, these days. Yeah. But we all have heard stories told really well in a way that feels magical because we connect with that thing in some way. And we've also heard stories told really badly that just kind of fall flat. And so taking that to a bigger picture with communication, it's easy to feel like communication is, oh, I got this because I do it all the time. We do it all the time, which is true. We've seen it done well. We've seen it done poorly. But a lot of people really haven't dug into the core foundational elements of what communication is, why it works, what makes it powerful, and why it is absolutely so accessible to anyone who seeks to find out those answers. It is 100% accessible.
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because as you were talking about Donald Miller earlier, my mind was going into the hero's journey type of narrative here, you know, that you were talking about, you know, going to slay the dragon. And often the hero doesn't know they're the hero until they go out and start doing what they're doing. But they've always had it in them that they find their calling. And as you were talking then about making it feel like magic, I was going in that same direction, thinking about, okay, how can you build a communicator who's great at doing what they do, where they didn't know they were good at it in the first place? So taking your chosen marketplace of accountants and helping them become thought leaders, some of them never thought they could do that. But you're helping them go through that
journey
to see that they can be that person. They've got that ability to go out there and slay the proverbial dragon in the accountancy world and get their message out there. But they didn't consider themselves a communicator in the beginning, but they've now become the chosen one to do it. But in any of those stories, there's got to be a leap of faith where they suddenly have the confidence to do it.
Well, in this case, the confidence comes from the fact that they have their fundamental skills.
Yeah, okay.
They know the numbers like the back of their hands. Now, a lot of the times, the clients that I work with, they have a very strong case of what we call the curse of expertise.
Okay.
What is normal to us is often extraordinary to other people. But we're around it all the time, and we don't know. We don't know how special it is. So the fact of the matter is, when I'm working with one of my clients who is a virtual CFO, and she's looking at the balance sheet of a company, she's looking at projections into the next quarters, and you know she can see what's happening with the company, but the CEO is often in a place where, you know, the CEO is often in a place where they are responsible for knowing how to make the decisions for everything. They are responsible. And when you eventually you're going to get to a point where you don't know what you don't know, or you're very much aware that this is not my wheelhouse, yet I'm responsible. Uh-oh. And so this is why when my client comes along and can actually say, okay, here are these, you know, here are the numbers, but here are what the numbers mean, because I know you, the CEO, I know that you care about, you know, to be specific, one of my clients is, her name is Hannah, and she's a virtual CFO. She's working with a company who is desperately trying to figure out, should I protect the future value of my company? But how can I take care of my people right now? Because, you know, it seems like she has to choose between company valuation and employee compensation.
That's interesting.
And it feels like an either or thing. And so when I was talking with Hannah, and we were using some of the tools that I use in my coaching sessions, and we came up with this image of a scale. It's a balance. It doesn't have to be either or. How can we get both? And just thinking of that image helped Hannah go back to reshape the way that she presented her projections to the CEO, to the way that, hey, here is how you can do both. Here's how you can protect your company valuation, take care of your people now, and here are the options of how we can make that work. We could percent increase in sales, whatever. And the look on the CEO's face, you could feel, Hannah told me she could just see this physical weight lift off the CEO's shoulders. I mean, and they were both, at the end of the call, they were both in tears.
I love it. Because they saw a way forward.
Yeah, because no, this is not about just numbers. This is not just show me the P&L, show me the balance sheet. This is how do I connect the meaning of these numbers to the things that I truly care about? I have built in my company and the people who keep the company going. I care about people, you know, so it's, you know, I feel like I've kind of gotten up in the weeds here, but there are a lot of different ways we can go from here. I'll just stop talking right now.
No, and I love that, because I think what you're talking about, Hannah's a great example of things there where she's, you know, she's able to convey the message and get the message out, you know, that balance between company valuation, employee compensation, getting that balance and realize it's not just about the numbers. There's another way forward. You said something just now, but, you know, make it feel like magic. And I think there's something there about how we communicate the message. And it comes back to you when you're playing the piano as well. We can all play the notes on the piano or on the page if we can play the piano, but it's actually bringing it alive, playing it with soul. And I think what I'm hearing there from you is that the key to getting your message out is enabling you to see beyond the words on the page, to bring it out so you can understand your audience, understand what they care about, but also understand how to really connect to those individuals so they really have a value from it. And that's the power of what you're talking there in terms of, you know, that transformative way that you're putting a message across. So I wonder, as we come towards a conclusion of this episode, if you were to go back and think about, you know, that message you were given when you were playing the piano in church all those years ago, and someone said to you, you need to play with soul. At that time, it didn't resonate for you. But if you were now to reconvey that message to the young Jeff in a better way, I wonder how you would better convey that same message so it resonated for the young elementary school kid that you were. How do you put that message together?
How would 10-year-old me have received, what would I have had to say in such a way that 10-year-old me, who knew virtually nothing about emotion, could come to the place where you realize that what you do doesn't matter. It is about, as Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. They will never forget how you made them feel. So how do I communicate to my 10 or 11 year old self? You know, there are times when messages will not connect.
Yeah.
If I was to go back to 10 or 11 year old me and say, she's right, you got to feel things, 10-year-old me would have said, feelings are dumb, I'm going to go play my Bach.
Yeah.
You know? And so there is a time when I think the message that I would have given myself at that point would be excellent.
Mm.
Learn to do what you do in such a way that the skills feel like magic. Learn how to make the fundamentals of anything that you do vanish so that you can concentrate on what really matters. But none of that happens without the fundamentals.
Yeah.
So get to the woodshed, put in your time. Let's go.
Yeah. And you know, I saw you really working to come up with that answer. And I love that answer, actually, Jeff, because we hadn't talked about that before, but I love that. Get to the woodshed, go and put in your rehearsals, because that's the key. And that message there about learn the fundamentals. And another image was conjured in my mind there. You know, I was with someone yesterday, and they were clearing out, she was clearing out her son's Lego. And it just, as you were talking, that made me think of, you know, the young Skywalker talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi right at the beginning, and being told, what does it take to become a master? And actually what you've just said is true, isn't it? You've got to master the fundamentals before you can step up to the next level, because you don't yet know what you don't know. But if you get this level right, you can go to this level, then you can go to this level. And it's all about evolution. It's how I interpret what you just said. So lovely, lovely story you've just made me think of as you told that story yourself.
I can't tell you how many thousands of hours I spent playing with Legos myself.
It's a big thing for big kids and little kids these days.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll tell you, if I can make one, if I can make another connection between this, the thing that took me a very, very long time to realize was that playing with Legos is you're taking disparate elements and you're putting them together to create something that's a new whole. And I didn't realize that what I ended up doing with playing Legos was exactly what I ended up doing in junior high with music, multi-track recording, sequencing, what I learned to do in video in high school, taking all these stacks of videotapes and taking this section and this section and this section, putting it together. And then doing that for 20 years in Hollywood, you're taking all these Lego building blocks and you're putting them together into a whole.
Yeah.
And truly, not only is this just the story of my life, this is the story of all of us. When we talk about taking our own life experiences, we're collecting these dots, these dots of life experiences, and we put them together. And then we share those connections with the world. And I will also say that that analogy is not original to me. There is a book called The Art of Asking, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Let People Help by Amanda Palmer. And that's how she describes creativity, the idea of collecting dots, putting them together in unique ways, like whatever flavor of Lego blocks you have, and then sharing those connections to the world.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I've not heard of that Art of Asking. I would go look at that book up, actually, and I'll stick it in the show notes. But I think there's something there, isn't it, about how to connect that life experience together and take all those building blocks, which is what Lego is, and you can build something else out of it. So there's a real metaphor for life, just for you know, talking about there, about, you know, we can all build something out of the key elements, whether it's a yellow brick or a blue brick or a green brick, it's brick. They're all just key life's modules, effectively, you can plug in to build a better something in the future, or a different something in the future.
Yeah. And the key is you can have those building blocks, but then you need to have some frameworks. You need to have some ideas on how to put them together. And looking forward to discussing that with you more.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. And you know, we said here that we were going to build up on two episodes here, actually. And I'd love to bring this first episode to a close, because I think as we talk here, you know, there's a whole story that we put together in terms of that journey that you've taken from the high school, elementary school and high school, playing the piano, building soul into it, taking that to LA, spending your 20 years in Hollywood, helping other people do it, and then realizing you had your own passion there about, you know, helping and coaching other people, helping coach TV editors on how to build their own story and bring it alive. And through to this message you're putting out for accountants as well, and how to help them really master their craft to become thought leaders. So I really appreciated this great first episode, Jeff. I've got one question I'm going to ask you before we close. And that question relates to your talking about Amanda Palmer's book. And the question I'm going to ask you here is, if you go back and as a young person ask anyone for some advice, I wonder who you would ask and what advice would you ask for?
So if I could go back as a young person?
Yeah. Who would you like to ask for advice? Living or dead, could be anybody.
You know, I would like to ask Jesus, how do I live my life with the results, with the skills and the Lego blocks and the resources that I have? How do I best follow you? And how do I walk your path for my life? Because that answer would be different for every single person. I've been a follower of Jesus my whole life. And it's that's the first thing that came to mind in terms of who and what I'd ask.
I love that question. I love that answer, actually. Now, how do I build my Lego blocks and help me follow the life I need with the Lego blocks I've got, but following that path. What a great answer. Mm-hmm. Jeff Barch, it's been a great first episode. I really enjoyed it. Great conversation. I'm looking forward to picking up and delving deeper into some of the stories here around how you can take this deeper and building the strategy for people with their own stories to help them become thought leaders in whatever else they're doing. So Jeff Barch, thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks again for listening to the Sparks by Ignium podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe, tell a friend about this episode, and send us in your suggestions for guests who might offer valuable insights the rest of us can learn from. Reach out to us at any time. Details are on our website, www.igniumconsult.com. See you next time.